Christ of the Bible, lesson number 31, November 16th, 2011. See if my voice will hold out for a third hour this morning. If I stay quiet enough, we'll get another class taught on this series. Open your Bibles to chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're wrapping up Christ as the personification of truth. I'll move on. Christ, the personification of life, and see a little difference between I am the resurrection of life and I am the way, the truth, and the life. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit of absolute objectivity to teach me the Word of God. Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, but accomplish all that you design as far away, sanctified and blessed in Christ's name. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, we've seen, first of all, that Christ could not lie. John 8:45, 46, Titus 1, 2. We saw that he was a summary of the truth that he taught, Colossians 2, 3, John 1:18, 14, 9, and 10. We saw he was a guarantee of fulfilled promises, 2 Corinthians 1:18 and 20. With Acts 10:43, Revelation 19:10. Now, how blessed it is to realize that as the truth, Jesus kept his word for life and for judgment. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Christ is the one the Father has appointed the judge of all things, and he guarantees that those who have believed in him will never stand in judgment. We will go before the judgment seat of Christ for an evaluation of how we live the Christian life, but we'll never stand in front of Christ and just in the criminal court. The judgment seat of Christ, our final evaluation, is the final stage of the family court. Family court is where Christ deals with us when we sin and refuse to confess it and move on today. The court of discipline for family members. Not a judicial court, it's a family court. Where we get, first of all, self-induced misery brings on the first warning stages of suffering. Then if it becomes intensified, God has discipline, Hebrews chapter 12. And if necessary, he may take us through dying grace. I'm sorry, through the sin unto death. If we refuse to repent, we may die. Sin unto death, but we still wake up one of his children, because once a child of God, always a child of God. We'll never stand that judicial concept. John 12:48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, as one who judges him, the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. The word is a standard by which the unbeliever will be judged on the issue of the gospel. Did you believe in Christ or not? My apology, I'm a little congested now. But believers will be evaluated also at the judgment seat of Christ on what we did with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Strange how many pastors are interested in stressing and teaching the in-depth study of the Word of God, and how many Christians today are apathetic to studying the Word in great detail. That the Word is the eternal standard by which we're going to be judged one day. Can't get away from that reality. That is a fact of life, because Scripture declares it. Not because I said it, because Scripture declares it. We just read it to you. And I hope it's soaked in. Again, John 12:48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. The word of God will be the standard of judgment. Either for the believer at the judgment seat of Christ or the unbeliever at the white throne, either one. The unbeliever will go to hell not for his sins, but because he has not believed in Christ. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The unbeliever will go to hell not for his sins, but for his of omission, but for his of commission, but for the sin of omission, the sin of failing to believe in Christ as his Savior. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He will spend eternity under the wrath of God for not believing in Jesus Christ. How powerful is the love of God for his own Son. People say, I don't think a loving God would do this or do that or do the other. A loving God loves the Son that the world has spit in his face. Why should he forgive them for how they have treated his beloved Son? People don't like to think about it that way. All right. First of all, Christ cannot lie. Secondly, he was a summary, the epitome of truth he taught. Thirdly, he is the guarantee of truth for the fulfillment of all promises. Fourthly, Christ related truth to every phase of life. In every way, the Lord Jesus Christ incarnate as the God-man Emmanuel was a fulfiller through his human nature of the truth of God. Look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and released us from our sins by his own blood. A faithful witness. Christ was the faithful witness. King James translation reads, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Same thing, saying the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Christ is the faithful witness to the truth of God's word. Jesus' life on earth was framed according to God's truth in every aspect. Luke 24:44. Luke 24:44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now the prophets included most of the historical writings, the Psalms included the writings. Everything that the Old Testament to say about Jesus Christ, he sought to fulfill. He did fulfill everything related to his first advent. He missed nothing. Truth permeated his life. He lived by the full word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Christ fulfilled the scriptures. This Christ's life was centered in Scripture, and we're in Christ, in Christos, in the Greek, in Christos, in Christos, in the sphere of Christ. We should be walking in the light of his word and living in his word daily. The truth of Bible doctrine permeated Christ's daily life. Matthew 4:4, I just quoted to you. Let's look at Matthew 22:39. Matthew 22, verse 5. I've got pages I can't get apart here for a second. The second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you're living Bible doctrine, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Greater love hath no man, he says in John, than of 15, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Christ laid down his life for his friends. He loved everyone with a love that was an integrity love. He loved his neighbor. He loved his enemies. He prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ even died for the sin of crucifying him. What he did not die for was the sin of unbelief in him. He explicitly fulfilled every single aspect of Bible doctrine laid to him that was set down in Scripture, Matthew 26, 54. How then will the Scripture be fulfilled which said that it must happen this way? John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture, said, I am thirsty. In him there was perfect agreement between the written and the incarnate word, John 5:39. The written word was the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ was in total agreement with the written word. As we read in John 5:39, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. Let me tell you something. People say, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Let me tell you something. The only way you're going to really know Jesus is through the study of the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, the person of God the Son is pictured on every page of the Bible. If you search deep enough, you'll find the gems, great gems of truth concerning the person of Christ. We need to get over baby Christianity, but we're so busy concerned about who the next president of the United States is going to be, what Congress is going to be, how much taxes we're going to have to pay, what we're having for supper, who's going to win the ball game, what's on TV. We're paying no attention to the eternal things of Christ. We need to wake up. The Scriptures testify of Christ. From the Scriptures we reveal to you, we can see and depend upon the fact that when Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, literally the way it was implied by it. Three modifiers. That he is the truth on whom we can depend. John 6:68. John 6:68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We need to learn to take God at his word. Mark 9:7. Mark 9, verse 7. Mark 9 says, and a cloud formed overshadowing them, and a voice said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. We're going to listen to Christ. We can only listen to him through the written word today. He's not speaking out. He's not calling our names and showing up in front of us. No. We're told to trust him through the Word. Learn the Word, and then we can trust him. Trust is based upon belief. Has to have an object. The object becomes a key thing. I grew up singing a song by J.H. Stockton called Only Trust Him, Come Every Soul by Sin Oppressed, There's Mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him. Now, He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow, plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Verse 3, yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Verse 4. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land, where joy is immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you. He will save you now. We need to get our priorities right. Now that's salvation faith. But once we get out of salvation faith, we need to have daily faith in Christ to carry us through. You've trusted Christ for your salvation. Have you trusted Him to take you all the way? We have to take Him at His word, Mark 9:7. We must continue in Him who is truth. Again, that favorite, one of those favorite passages of mine, John 8. You know where I'm going. John 8:31. So Jesus saying to those Jews who believed in Him, if you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Continue to trust Him, and thereby experience the blessings of the truth being set free. Verse 32. Bishop Walsham wrote these words, O words of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, truth unchanged, unchanged, O light of our dark day. We praise Thee for the radiance that from the hallowed page, a lantern of our footsteps shines on from age to age. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. We trust Him for salvation. Let's trust Him for life. Let's trust Him for everything that we've got. All right, back to John 14:6. Back to John 14:6. All right, let's take a look at what we've seen so far in the exegesis of the passage. We first of all, we saw the first word is the present active indicative, the third person singular, legi, L-E-G-E-I, the verb. Sorry, I'm kind of getting a little more congested here. All right, we start out with the third person singular, present active indicative of the verb lego, L-E-G-O. He spoke, means to speak, to communicate words. Christ said to them, to Thomas and to the other disciples who were sitting there with Him. He opened His mouth and communicated. Lego is primarily meaning to pick out, the other chiefly denoting to say, speak, affirm, whether of actual speech or of unspoken thought. Here we have it of actual speech. Vine points out that a characteristic of Lego is that it refers to the purport or sentiment of what is said, as well as the connection of the words. Leo simply means to speak. We do not have laleo, L-A-L-E-O here, but we have lego here. With it we have the verb, we have auto, which is a third person singular dative masculine pronoun auto, plus a nominative masculine singular definite article ho, isous, I-S-O-U-S. Jesus is the one doing the speaking. He's the subject of the verb. With it, ego eimi, E-G-O-E-I-M-I. Ego is the first person singular. Nominative pronoun I. Eimi, of course, is the first person singular. Present active indicative of the verb to be, the verb of status quo. When we translate, Jesus said, sorry, wet my throat. Jesus said to him, I am. Hey, hodes. We have the nominative feminine singular definite article plus hodos, H-O-D-O-S. Nominative feminine singular noun. Kai, connective conjunction. Hi, again, the nominative feminine singular definite article plus aletheia, A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Kai, connective conjunction plus the nominative feminine singular definite article, A again, plus zoe, Z-O-E, nominative feminine singular noun for life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life could be a correct translation since we have three modifiers here. We have three modifiers here. We said that I am. Christ is the great I am. I am the way, I am the truth. And now he says, I am the life, the Zoe. He said, but we just had him. I am the resurrection and the life. We believe there's a difference here in the word life. In the trio of titles of John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. It's fundamental. And each one to the other. He is the life or the life personified, perfected in himself. John 11, 25. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Now, Christ is the life, and him is the life, John 1, 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ is the personification of life. He is the life, or life personified and perfected. Again, verse 25, Jesus, chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Paul appropriated him whose life is the light of men. John 1, 5, 4 says, him was life, the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave he the power to become the sons of God, or children of God, under the Greek, even them that believe on his name. We're not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Paul appropriated himself. Him whose life is the light of men could say, Christ who is our life. Look at Colossians 3, 4. Christ who is our life. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. when Christ is revealed at his second, the revelation portion of his second coming, we will appear with him in glory, having been through the judgment seat of Christ, and all things will occur between the rapture and the revelation in heaven. Now, we look at Christ, we think of him in his pre-existent life. Life was perfect, John 3:13. We look at Christ in life, we see him first of all in his pre-existent life, which was perfect. The Father, Son, and Spirit living together. John 3:13. No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. In his birth, life was manifested, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In his days, life was consecrated. John 8:29. So we have perfected his pre-existent life, manifested in his birth life, and in his days life was consecrated. And he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He was totally committed to pleasing the Father. We sang often, so we used to, I guess they don't sing it much anymore, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we turn our eyes upon Jesus, we may live as Christ, to die as gain, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who with the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. These verses motivate us to make sure that we have nothing between us and our Lord, and we're not holding back anything. People get so wrapped up in politics or wrapped up in this side or the other. It might be their favorite sport team. It might be education. It might be a job. But they're too busy for the things of the Lord. And they need to square away from this and occupy with Christ of the Bible. In his death, life was offered, John 10:15. In his death, life was offered, John 10:15. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. In his death, he offered his life for his sheep. In his resurrection, life was accepted, Acts 3:15. But put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. In his glory, life is shared. In his glory, life is shared. John 14:19. And a little longer while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. And you will live also. So we see his pre-existence life was perfect, and his birth life was manifest, and his days life was consecrated, and his death life was offered, and his resurrection life was accepted, and his glory life is shared. So we see that the life of Christ was manifested to us for our example to look upon and to set before us. The one who lived by the Word of God, the one who lived to please the Father, becomes our example in life. Not living for religion, not living for denominationism, not living for churchism, not living for husband, wife, children, parents, or anyone else, but living for Christ. All the other things have their place and proper place. Don't misunderstand me, but everything has to fall into its proper place. John, 1 John 1, 1 and 2, what was from the beginning, which we had heard, which we have seen with our eyes, that we have looked on and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, was, the verb means was always in existence, not came into existence at creation. What was from the beginning, from the dispensation of the triune Godhead, i.e. Alpha, pre-creation eternity, we translate it. What we have heard, the we was John and the other disciples, who became the 11, first 11 apostles. What we have seen with our own eyes, what they witnessed personally, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. John put his hands upon the Lord Jesus Christ and touched his physical body. Concerning the word of life and concerning the doctrine was in it, the same Greek word is used in one of Christ's post-resurrection appearances for touch in Luke 24:39. So look at Luke 24:39. See my hands and my feet, that is I myself, touch me and see, for the spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. They laid hands upon him, they touched him, concerning the one who is the word of life, the message concerning life which appeared at the incarnation. Verse 2, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, the eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested to us. John says we touched the one who had eternal life. We knew him. We knew he was in his flesh. He was a man in his flesh. He was also God. There was no doubt about any of these things in the mind of him. And verse 3 then says that we have, that which we have seen and heard. All right, that which they saw of Christ and heard from Christ, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write unto you, that your joy may be full. The issue is the fellowship of the redeemed people with the apostles, and ultimately with God the Father and with God the Son. That's the theme of this entire letter. And it adds to the joy that is in us to understand the life. All right, so we begin to see life for what it is, the life that Christ has. When an unbeliever, a sinner, comes to his senses and realizes he is lost, damned, and doomed, and that Christ is the only hope brought from God consciousness to gospel hearing, hears the gospel, believes in Christ, and is saved, he becomes one with him and derives life from him. As the stem, leaves, and fruit receive their life or sap from the vine, we receive our eternal life from Christ. Look at John 15, 1 to 8. John 15, 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I'm sorry. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Far apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather to them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatsoever you wish. It will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this. It's been much fruit. and so prove to be my disciples. John explains what abiding in him means. It's the same word used in 1 John 3:24. Abiding depends on keeping Christ's commandments. In verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 1 John 3:24. Abiding has nothing to do with holding on to your salvation. Abiding has to do with being in fellowship and enjoying the Christian way of life. This one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this then that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. We're commanded to love one another. If there's any Christian that you don't love, you've got an abiding problem. Again, my apology, I get congested sometimes. Do not have time to stop the machine. Now, Galatians 2:20. The issue is in phase two of the Christian life, whether we walk in Christ, in the light of Christ with our eyes upon him, or we walk in the light of human viewpoint. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Crucified to self. Crucifixion with Christ means death to or separation from the reigning power of the old sinful life and freedom to experience the power of the resurrection life of Christ through faith. It's taught in Romans 6:6. It is no longer I who live, but Christ. Christ has taken up his abode in Paul, yet he did so without submerging Paul's own personality. We have the Godhead within us. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Spiritual life can only be derived from being in union with him who is the life, 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The life is in his Son. We get the life from Christ. We must look up to the fact that Christ alone, he is the living way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Christ is the living way. We're supposed to be living in him, abiding in him, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne on high. There's an old hymn we used to sing years ago called Living for Jesus. A life that is true. T.O. Chisholm wrote it. Striving to please him in all that I do. Yielded allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessings for me. The chorus, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee for thy atonement. Just give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be my throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Song was copyrighted back in 1917, so it's 6 years short of being 100 years old now. Second verse, living for Jesus who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. Verse 3, living for Jesus whatever I am, wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name. Willing to suffer affliction or loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. Verse 4, living for Jesus, through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, in the light of his smile, seeking the lost ones he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. And of course, again, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou and thy atonement is give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne, my life I give is for to live, O Christ, for thee alone. A tremendous song to tell us the issue of occupation with Christ, understanding what the life is all about. He is the living life. Life is something, is not something, but someone, as John makes clear when he said the life is in his Son, or this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, 1 John 5, 11, 12. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. A person may be physically and mentally alive, yet spiritually dead. There are those in the world who speak about their desire to see life, but what they seek for brings spiritual and eternal death. They seek for material blessing. 1 Timothy 5:6 says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. If you're living for pleasure, you're not going to find it. This is what causes alcoholics and drug addicts. You know, they take a social drink and they take another one to feel better. They take another one to feel better until they can't control it. Because they find their happiness. See, it's one thing to do something. You get out, you sit down to eat a meal and you've got joy in your soul, so you thank the Lord for it, whether you're eating a poor southern boy's dish of long ago in tough days, cornbread and black-eyed peas and turnip greens or mustard greens or collard greens, a little fried okra. That's it. You say, where's the meat? And that's where the meat was. It was there. Or you sit down at a restaurant and eat Chateaubriand, baked potato with all the trimmings. Whatever God puts in front of you and everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you becomes an issue that we need to do. We need to learn to occupy with what Christ gives us, to the Father, the Father gives us through Christ, I should say, for every good gift and every perfect gift coming down above from the Father of lights in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. How many times have you heard me quote that to you? Christ is the life. We need to center on that and appreciate it. We're living in the depression days. We're living in the very worst of times in many ways. I point this out to you, no matter what anybody says, this is the worst depression in American history, because the so-called Great Depression 1930s, there was no such thing as credit cards, so there was no personal debt. And what do I hear over and over again? Go out and spend, spend, spend. We throw away stuff all the time. It comes to us telling us that we need offering credit, more credit, more credit. We live on what God provides. You cannot improve something by going further in debt. You simply make yourself more a slave. Our nation has fallen back and turned so far away from God, it's not even funny. Not funny at all. We need to wake up. We need to understand that what we have in Jesus is the whole issue. And depend upon Him and be thankful for what we've got. But no. We got to have it all now, brother. You got it all wrong. Come to the church of health, wealth, and prosperity and be told how to, you give everything to us and then God will give it all to you with a lot more too. In the meantime, we're the ones who are going to live it up at your expense. Goes in and started his ministry in 85. We're closing down 27 years, started the 1st of January. That year. it'll soon be over. Soon be over. Everything passes very quickly through this world. Christ is the life himself, and we need to appropriate the light into our own soul. Appropriating the light into our own soul allows us to have and live the abundant life that Christ planned for us, which is not always the life that the world thinks of as the abundant life. Christ came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. But by that he didn't mean material things, he meant spiritual prosperity. Spiritual prosperity. Christ described those in the church of Sardis who had a name that they lived but were dead in Revelation 3:1. Look at Revelation 3:1 a minute. The angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, and thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. There are a lot of people walking around in the world that are dead and don't know it. They're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And trespasses and sins, transgression and sin, Ephesians 1:3, and they don't know it. Other people that are believers in Jesus Christ are walking around and they are experientially dead, which means that even though they are alive in this world and they are saved and have eternal life in them, they're not living for Jesus, they're living for self, they're in carnality, and therefore everything they do is rejected by God. The life that we receive is not a life of fancy things. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain, which can be translated, for me to live is gain, and for me to die for Christ. For me to live for Christ is gain, for me to die for Christ is gain, can be translated that way, out of what it is down there. To point the price, point forward what we've got. The life that we have comes from Christ. All right, now I want you to look at three things real quick as we summarize something about what it means to have life. I have come to give you life. And to give it more abundantly. The abundant life that people talk of. The abundant life that Christ talks of. What does it mean? Now, Peter was saved in John chapter 6 when Jesus said unto him, will you go away also? When the others were going away, and Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, where shall we go to ask the words of eternal life? And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 5:26 says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. The life is in Christ. Christ is the issue. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. In the heavenlies, in Christ. Everything that we have then has to come through the heavenlies in Christ. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4. There is one body. This is the mystical body of Christ. One Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Here's we are called to one hope of your calling. Art, there's only one hope in Scripture for us. One Lord, that's Jesus Christ. One faith, faith in Him. Salvation. One baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. God the Father is living in us, it says here. Many pastors don't even understand that. Many theologians don't understand that. They talk about the Holy Spirit being in us, but they miss the fact that the Father is in us at the same time. It says right here, clearly, the Father is in us. The Father is in us. But how can the Father be in us if Christ is the way to the Father? How can the Father take up permanent indwelling within us? There is only one way for God the Father to permanently indwell us, and that is, first of all, for Christ to indwell us. Colossians 1:27 says that Christ does indwell us. Christ does indwell us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right. We have Christ in us. We have the Father in us. We have the Spirit in us. Christ promised us the Spirit. John chapter 14. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said to you, the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father in Christ's name. Now, the whole principle of the work of the Spirit coming in is a promise from Christ. The passage, chapter 16, verses 26-27, when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, shall testify of me. You shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. All right, so the Father indwells us. Christ sends, and the Father both will send the Spirit. The Spirit will take up residency within us. We have the entire triune Godhead living inside of us. And this is the issue of life. All right, look at John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. They might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Christ in us gives us this abundant life. It is a life of blessing, of honor, of living, of having the privilege of living for Christ. It's not things. I've got Christian friends who think that the abundant life is having a lot of things. New cars, fancy clothes, being able to go where they want to go, taking long vacations, or whatever they want to do. I I have come that they might have life, they might have it abundantly. Why say this after having already declared that by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved? Mark thus follows his reference to the thief. Here then the Lord Jesus Christ seems to be looking forward with a blessing concept. The principle of abundant life. In Romans 11:15, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? There will come a day when the Jewish believers will all receive abundant life at the second advent when Christ comes to the earth. And some think that that's what abundant life is all about, that he's looking forward to the abundance of prosperity upon this earth following his second advent. And it's a promise to the Jewish people that he's talking about, because his messianic message was there. I do not agree. He's talking about entering in for salvation already, and I don't think he's looking forward to something in the future for that. I think instead that when Christ says he has come to have life, to give them life, and to give it more abundantly, he's talking about the life of living for Jesus one day at a time in total dependence upon him for everything that we have. It's talking about looking to the good shepherd to take care of the sheep, to supply the needs of the sheep. Christ is going to give us something so wonderful, then we need to be able to relate to it. The thief would take it away. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. He came to give eternal life to all who put their trust in him. But there's more to it. Dr. Harry Ironside says, if we are walking in fellowship with God, we have that abundant life. A great many Christians have life, but they do not seem to have abundant life. I was in a home lately, I'm still quoting Ironside, where there were two children. One was sickly and pale, while the other was so lively that he was a constant annoyance to the little sickly one. I looked at him, I thought, well, they're like Christians. There are a lot of Christians who have life. They have trusted Jesus as Savior, but they do not seem to count much for God. No testimony, no witness. And there are others who are spiritually exuberant, bearing a great witness for the one who has redeemed them, radiant as they live in fellowship with the Lord. First, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Then he declares, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. You have two sides of the truth here. As the good shepherd, he went to Calvary's cross and laid down his life. There he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, with his stripes were healed. Oh, the wonderful shepherd. On the other side, we have him as the taking care of the sheep, walking with us, supplying our every need, caring about us, empathizing with us, the high priest before the throne of there. We need to sing, I live not I, 'tis he alone by whom the mighty work is done, dead to myself, alive to him, I count all loss, his rest to gain. The abundant life is living through the filling of the Spirit with occupation with Christ, allowing God to do everything that he needs to do, supplying all of our needs, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him wherever we fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. All right, we finished the one, oh, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life is abundantly is the life in Christ here, daily walking with him. Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise it will not return void, but accomplish what you desire for. Sanctified and blessed we ask you in Christ's name, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.